This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood, where you can get a 2020 Corolla LE, lease it for $159 a month, sign and drive $289 a month, get on down to 1841 North State Road 7 in Hollywood, Toyota of Hollywood.
Some interesting stuff now. Herman says, hey, Big O, put on the mask. Thank you, sir. I forgot. I was drinking water now during the break, and I forgot about the mask there. Thank you, sir.
What the hell are you doing? Get your mask on.
Yeah. And Herman says, Big O, chill out. And he says, Bill, chill out and stop saying culo. We got an interesting development in the NFL. And, you know, I've had a lot of fun with this because – in New England, Belichick, obviously, while he's the genius and all that good stuff, it's not like players are on board completely and they're gung-ho about the season. No, the Patriots have had more players than anybody else drop out, okay? And some important players have dropped out. And I've told you that why? Because Tom Brady's not there. And you look at the Bucs, and the Bucs, maybe they've lost one guy or something. I don't even know if they've lost a guy yet. Maybe there's one. I think there's one guy that may have dropped out. But again, nothing huge. Well, now here's a story that is coming out of Tampa that it says the union, with the union for the right to compel players to live in hotels all season when it can be done on a voluntary basis since they couldn't agree to any kind of bubble, NFL teams are waking up to the ability to create a hardened bubble without seeking formal permission to do so. So the league has already said in an email that it's permissible to have a voluntary sequestering everybody voluntarily, which, by the way, the Saints are doing during training camp. One of their top rivals is now taking it to the next level. Rick Stroud of Tampa Bay Times says that Bruce Arians said on Wednesday that the team has secured a hotel in Tampa for players to sequester if they choose so. Now, the spoiler alert is, will they choose, right? So despite Tom Brady's cavalier attitude towards the coronavirus during the offseason, he surely realizes that a positive test will shut the player down for at least a game. So he's encouraged players, especially those deemed to be at higher risk of doing something that would expose them to the virus, of staying there. So it'll be interesting to see if Brady stays there himself. He probably would because he will set an example. His candid remarks to Howard Stern regarding past friction with Mrs. Brady could make a five-month disappearing act very delicate proposition. But if Brady doesn't stay at the hotel, how can he expect teammates to do the same? Knowing Brady, he will probably stay there, because he'll want to set the example and he'll force other, like if Tom Brady's doing it, you got to do it. That kind of stuff. And remember, on this show, we've been talking about 32 bubbles. And one of the reasons why I gave the NFL hope over college is why, ladies and gentlemen? Because the NFL has guys that have a lot of bills. And so when you have responsibilities in life and they come from your job, you kind of take your job serious. And that's where I thought that the NFL has a little shot at keeping it alive. If they do this, they have an enormous shot now. Because we've watched, look, man, all they have to do is look at what's going on with baseball with no contact. And they're getting coronavirus cases left and right. Football cannot survive in a pandemic. So if you do come up with your own bubble, which is what the Dolphins should do next, is have a hotel that they dominate too and have the players stay there and control the environment and give yourself a chance to actually have a whole season. I mean, selfishly, if you're a player, man, if you get to play out the season, you get your salary, you get to establish your career, you get another year on your career, another year for your pension, all of that stuff. There's a lot of positives to it. Are there sacrifices? Okay, so what? You make sacrifices for your job. I make sacrifices for my job. We've all done it. Let's not make it sound like this is something that's new to anybody. That's the one thing that, look, if you have medical issues, you or somebody you love in your family and you want to opt out, that's fine. If you don't have medical issues and you're bitching and complaining about being stuck in a hotel for a couple of months with your team, I got no time for you. I got none. I think you're a wuss. That's all. If you're not doing it for the protection of a loved one, for a medical issue, you're a wuss. That's all. It's either or. That's it. Because if you're in a bubble, you have controlled the environment. Now, if you don't want to play college football or the NFL the way it's currently set up, I get it. You don't want to play baseball the way it's currently set up? Go for it, man. Get the hell out. But if they can create a bubble and you can be in there and you look at what's going on with soccer, hockey, and basketball, no setbacks at all. You're a wuss.
Unless you go to the strip club, get some chicken wings.
Right, but even that, it still did not affect the NBA whatsoever. They just put them aside for 10 days, and that's it. Issue done. You know what I mean? So to me, you only have one excuse not to go in a bubble, and that's a medical issue, and we all have to respect that. But outside of that, you're a stinking wuss. Okay? And if you can't handle being in a bubble for a couple of months, you're a loser, dude. That's all. Pretty simple. And so if Tampa's able to do that, again, when you've got a guy like Brady who's going to lead by example, and I'm sure he will go in the bubble. And Giselle looks to me like the kind of woman that she understands what position he's in, and she's going to respect it, and she's going to go along with it, like any good woman or good husband would do. If your wife has to, you know, travel for the next 6 months for her business, but it means everything for her career and it's going to advance it, what do you do as a husband? You tell her, no, you can't do it? No, you tell her, let's go. I know, I get it. It'll be a rough 6 months, but we'll get through it. We'll stay in contact. We'll do whatever. Maybe I'll fly out and meet you one day or whatever. That's it. I had to leave and work in San Francisco. And in 6 months, I saw my wife once where she came out for a couple of days. But it was part of me early in my career trying to establish it, what direction I was going in. I wasn't sure. It was a great opportunity. My wife's not going to get in the way of me chasing my dreams. I wouldn't get in the way of her chasing hers. That's what a good foundation does. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to support each other. So if your wife's not allowing you to go to the bubble just because she wants to be a bitch, then you got the wrong wife. It's pretty simple. You know, that's all. That's selfish is what that is. Now, again, medical issues, I got no problem with that. You don't have to play a damn minute of any sport if you got medical issues. Those are legitimate. So to hear that Tampa may be creating their own bubble now and they've locked down a hotel, the NFL prints enough money that every team can do that. Okay? And I wouldn't be surprised if every team except the Bengals does it. Because, of course, the Bengals are cheap bastards. Oh, I mean, they are. They're cheap bastards. I mean, they're not going to do anything.
The Bengals must continue to bungle.
Yes, and they will. And they will. But if the money is there, why don't these leagues have stronger restrictions and create a mandatory bubble? Because, Rosendo, it has to be negotiated. In the collective bargaining agreement, you must negotiate with the players' union. So if the players' union does not agree on it, then it won't happen, like baseball. Baseball did not want to do the bubble. That was not going to be an option for baseball. That's why. That's all collectively bargained, my friend. Remember, Rosendo, they live in a different world than you and I. Much different world. Let's see. I always thought the bass player was hot. Who are you talking about? Let's see. What do we have here? I think you guys are like are in a completely other conversation. Man of 1,005 holes says 8 years already. Damn, I'm old. You're talking about Yaush? Yeah. Yeah, man. 8 years that he passed away. 786-322-1105 if you want to get in on the text line. That's 786-322-1105 if you want to get in. Ozzy Osbourne, by the way, I did not do we have that sound there for Ozzy talking about his update? I did not give it, but for those of you, I forgot to tell you in music news, Ozzy Osbourne has updated his fans on his health, and it seems like he wants to get back on the road and tour. There's a funny thing that goes on here when he explains his health. Sharon Osbourne is there too. You'll hear her in this whole thing. Here's Ozzy updating people on his health.
I'm not back to 100%. I'm about 75% there, but it's just such a slow recovery. Spine surgery is bad news, man. And Sharon and I were just recently talking. If we'd have known then what we know now, I mean, I've been in such a bad state with pain. I'm still having a lot of pain.
I'm sorry.
Nothing like I was. There was a point I was saying to Sharon the other day, I was convinced that I was dying. I was in that much discomfort and pain and misery. I thought they were all hiding from me. And I remember saying to Sharon, you've got to level with me. It's worse than you're making it out. She says, no.
Yeah, he thought we were hiding it from him.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm so glad that you're not feeling that same pain still. That's the worst.
I've dropped all the medication for pain now.
Well, you look great, and we're all cheering for you, and so many people love you. And I know that Jack had recently talked about how, you know, what you were like at home versus, you know, going on tour. And I live with a musician, so I know touring is so hard. It's like you complain when you're touring, and then you complain when you're sitting at home.
That's right.
There's no happy medium.
No, there isn't.
No, I think there's a happy medium when the 90 minutes when he's performing. That's
it. That's true. And Ozzy, do you see yourself ever going back out there, or you're like, you know what?
I cannot wait, but I was talking to Tony Allen the other day, and he was saying, by the way it's going with this coronavirus, indoor shows will be a thing of the past.
I know. I'm hoping that's not true for all of us that love to watch performances.
I'm with them there. That's kind of scary when you hear Ozzy say indoor shows may be a thing of the past, and that's not cool. Because I like my share of indoor shows, especially smaller venues. When you get to see some bands in a more intimate setting, I'm a big fanatic of that. And it's funny to hear that he was in such pain that he thought they were lying to him on how bad it is, and he thought he was going to die. And the fact now that he's off of all pain medication, that's huge too. Because we are talking about a guy that's had a lot of addictions probably in his life too. You want to wean him off those pain medications because obviously you don't want to create any other issues with all of that. It just sucks to get old, man. It sucks to get old because as you get injured, it takes longer to heal everything. And any of us that are getting older, you know what I'm talking about, that when you hurt something, it takes a lot longer for you to get back to being 100%. So we'll see if, and I will say this, will motivate me more than ever to go see him the next time because that probably will be, you know, the last go around for him if you're able to see him again. And remember, there's been some talk about a Black Sabbath reunion. Ozzy's open to it. Tony Iommi is open to it. So that's very cool. But remember, it's not a tour. They're talking about a one-off. So It's probably in London or probably in New York City or L.A., but it's somewhere it's going to be, and it's going to be a one-off, so you may even have a chance to see Black Sabbath one more time with them together. That would be actually pretty cool if you get that opportunity for any of you out there that are fans of Ozzy or Black Sabbath. All right, 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the text line, that's 786-322-1105. Did you see that they stopped a game because of a drone, Bill?
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Minnesota Twins and the Pirates were playing a game Tuesday afternoon, and a drone ended up flying over the field. It was in the middle of the fifth inning. So the umpires pulled the players out of the diamond, noticed the flying object in the air. The drone was hovering over the ballpark for several minutes. So they all waited. They all stopped. They were all shooting imaginary guns at it, throwing baseballs, whatever. They were doing all kinds of stuff. And eventually the drone then flies back out of center field and flies away, and then they're able to come back. I don't know yet if there's been any follow-up, and have they caught the person that was flying the drone. And I don't know what laws they broke to. I'm sure they broke some kind of law by flying it into a stadium without permission, because even though there was nobody in the stadium, there's still a chance that the thing could, you know, something happen and it could hurt somebody. You just never know. You know, you would imagine that athletes will be able to avoid it, but you just never know. So I have not seen the follow-up story to this. I saw it yesterday. I saw the highlights of it all. I read the story, and I wanted to talk about it because, I mean, we've had delays because there's been a cat on the field, right? I mean, that's happened.
Rabbits, bees.
Rabbits.
Remember the bees in the
bees,
playoff game with Jabba,
yeah.
Chamberlain?
Yeah. Well, how about when Randy Johnson, like, dismantled a pigeon? Anybody?
Oh, when he hit the pigeon, yeah.
If any of you have never seen that and you're young.
It just exploded.
Randy Johnson was on the mound pitching to a batter, and a bird flew in the way of the pitch. And the ball hit the bird, and it exploded the bird. And there were feathers everywhere. It's on YouTube, I'm sure. You can go look at it. Randy Johnson kills bird. Just put that, and you'll see it. So we've had all kinds of delays. This was the first time we had a drone. By the way, President Trump wants to remind you that drones don't have any people inside of them. But anyway, a drone has delayed a sporting event. There you go, my friends. We have seen everything, okay? Delaying a game because of a drone. I love it. Rafael Nadal is out of the U.S. Open. You saw that, along with Roger Federer. Okay. I don't know how to feel about that. I don't know if I feel depressed about it or something. Am I supposed to feel that depressed about it? Am I supposed to feel like...
You don't care because you don't like Rafi Nadal.
No.
I like Rafi.
No, no.
Djokovic.
No, I like tennis.
If Djokovic was out.
But it's not... I'm saying because of the COVID, I can't blame him. I can't get mad at him. I can't be frustrated.
No.
It's in New York City, the U.S. Open.
But the thing is, remember, they slammed the curve here. They've done the right thing. They're responsible there.
Yes, yes, you are correct.
It's a different animal. Different animal than it was.
And it's not like they're going to have fans coming from all over the world.
No.
And then there'll be nobody there.
There is no fans.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
How would you feel if Djokovic was out? Because that's your guy.
No, but I want him to be out. He has Corona. He'll bring it with him.
That's a good point.
Okay? No, but I can't get mad or frustrated about it because of it's COVID. You know what I mean? It's like, I know that it makes it bad tennis because it's bad because you lose Nadal. You lose one of the greatest players in the world. One of the greatest players in the history of tennis. Not just one of the great players now, one of the great players of all time. You end up losing. So it sucks. But I can't say that I'm frustrated. I got to say that I'm okay. I'm not surprised. 57 seconds left. The Islanders did score. It's 3-2. There's an empty net right now for the Islanders, so obviously they have an extra man on the ice, and they're trying to tie this game up with 46 seconds left. So we'll keep you updated on that and see if they do end up tying it. They are pressuring all over the place, my brother. Let's hope that they can actually stave off the Islanders. There's 34 seconds left now in the game. Panthers are trying to hang on for
dear
life.
Go clock, go. Go clock, go.
Yeah, man, they're trying to hang on for dear life. Did you see what happened in Colorado State? That, my friends, is pretty sick what's going on in Colorado State, okay? Because they're trying to tell the athletes to cover up the COVID cases. So a number of Colorado State athletes claim they've been told to keep quiet about COVID-19 symptoms or suffer the consequences. Allegations are part of a lengthy investigation by the Coloradoan where 10 anonymous players and staff members allege the school is trying to downplay the pandemic to keep the season alive. An anonymous player told the outlet that coaches instructed the team to not tell trainers if they are experiencing any COVID symptoms. And if they did, they would lose playing time. I think everybody could be doing a better job, the football player says. But for our coaches to tell players not to tell trainers if they have symptoms because we have so many guys out is wrong. The report claims the football team has been hit hard with the virus. 27 players were missing from practice on July 29th due to COVID, causing the school to voluntarily shut down team activities. Another player claims a teammate experiencing symptoms was able to practice without wearing a mask and didn't want to get tested out of fear of missing workouts. This is the ignorance that's going on. So meanwhile, you're practicing spreading it to everybody. CSU Athletic Director Joe Parker says the school is doing what they can to keep players safe and denies the athletic department has any say in handling COVID-19 cases. There's no influence from our coaching staff on those kind of decisions, and the decisions are made outside of the athletic department. That's the way I want it. Some players are speaking out against allegations, say they're simply not true. Coming from a player who compromised immune system, never once did I feel like CSU football ever put me in jeopardy. That's Todd Centennial, the QB. I have felt very comfortable and safe while going through both voluntary and mandatory workouts. These allegations are not true. Terry McBride, the tight end, says the coaches have done a tremendous job of keeping the health of players and the staff a top priority. They plan to keep the players' safety in the center. Very accurate. So, I believe that they're trying to hide it. I think those guys there are probably scared and they don't want to rip their coaches publicly. That's what I think. Because I don't think several players are going, and by the way, the Panthers did win. I don't think several players are going to be lying about something like this because that's going to put them in a terrible light. So the fact that they're putting them at risk, that's why they're coming forward with all of this. So I believe the players in this case more than I believe the school. And again, because of all the money involved, Bill, that's the other thing. These schools, and I don't believe they care about players in the NFL. I don't believe they care about players in college. I think they just use them for what they need them. And this is just part of the business for them. And to me, I'm going to lean on that they are trying to hide. We're going to get more from this story. There's no doubt about it. And when the paper, the Coloradoan, is behind it, they must feel there's truth also to it. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think that report, that writer is going to really go after it without real substance behind it. So, again, if you were threatened, then publicly some of you may come up and because remember, all the people that are saying what happened, they're anonymous. The only two that have come out publicly are defending, and that's because they're putting their name on it. So they don't want any blowback from any of the coaches. Scary, scary, scary
stuff.
And
if this is true, I see a massive lawsuit in their not-so-distant future.
Oh, yeah, no, and especially if any of those kids have caught it. suffer any kind of real setbacks for the rest of their lives.
Oh.
Okay? That, my friends, is not going to be fun. All right? Any questions out there? What do you guys got for me on the chat board, by the way? Send it in right now on the text line, 786-322-1105. If you're on the YouTube chat board, send in any questions you may have. We will answer them. What were you going to say?
Preston Williams School.
Yes. Yes. You are correct. And the ex-UM coach was there, Sonny Lubick, right? Wasn't Sonny Lubick there for a while?
I believe you are correct, sir.
I went to a concert like that at West Palm Beach Auditorium. I believe it was the summer of 1990. Oh, you're talking about the the Boy George stuff, the culture club. Okay, mine was not that long ago, but I believe it. I believe it, and those are fun concerts, man. The Niners are a joke because they signed Deion Jordan. Like, what the F? I mean, you know. Deion Jordan is not the Deion Jordan we had. He's actually, he stayed away from the substance issues, and he's kind of played some football. I mean, he's a reserve-type player, but it's nothing great. But I can see where, you know, maybe the Niners think they can use him on the back end of the rotation on the D-line. So, look, man. Deion was a mess here, and he screwed up, and it was a terrible pick, one of the worst picks of all time, maybe the worst pick of all time. I get all of that. But give him a little love that after all the mess he created for himself, the last couple of years he's focused on football, and he's able to make a living out of it. So I can't deny the man that at least he's worked on his addictions, and he was able to get back on the field. I commend him for that. You know what I mean? It doesn't look like he was a terrible human being at this point, right? It's not like he's beating women and holding up banks or something. I mean, he had a substance issue. Poor guy. Sucks. A lot of people have to deal with those kind of issues. He fought through it. And, you know, at this point, it's, put it this way, at least he's not Antonio Brown. At least he's not Josh Gordon, has continued to screw up. You know what I mean? Deion doesn't fail any more tests. At least I don't believe, I don't think, any of the last couple of years. I'm pretty sure he's been pretty clean since he got back into football. He's just a reserve type guy, that's all. Big old Rick Derringer could shred. Did he play with the Winters brothers? Be safe. I don't know. I think he did play with the Winters brothers. Yes. With Johnny, I think it was. I think he was in his band before he went solo. I believe you're right. I think you're right on that. That he was in Winters' band. And then he then went on his own and did Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, which is obviously his signature song of... Right, it is, right? Isn't Rick Derringer Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo? Rock and roll, yeah. Let's see. Oh, how much Deion Jordan was bad coaching. No, Raging Dolphin Maniac. It had nothing to do with bad coaching. It was a bad decision, but the dude was a drug addict, was an alcoholic. It doesn't matter who's coaching you. The guy had substance issues. You know what I mean? So, Deion, we have to compartmentalize here, okay? Deion Jordan was terrible for the Dolphins. It was a terrible pick. It was a terrible experience. All of that. But I wish him the best, man. He's found a way to stay straight the last couple of years. He's played football. God bless him, man. He figured it out, and he didn't stay a loser. Good for him, man. Good for him.
Derringer, Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, 73. That's how old that song is.
And before that, It was on Edgar Winter or Johnny Winter's band. Because I think I want to say he's in Frankenstein.
They do mention Frankenstein, yes.
I want to say he's guitarist there with him in Frankenstein.
They have it listed with him, yes.
Yeah. I remember that because I think the listener's right when he mentioned the Winter. I remember that I remember he was part of Winter's band. Mark is saying Edgar Winter Band. There you go. I said Johnny. It was Edgar. Okay. Let's see. What do we have here? Bob wins. Yes, Mark. Thank the Lord. Love Nadal to win a Grand Slam. He needs one more to tie Roger. I was supposed to see Ozzy and Megadeth last year, and he canceled twice. He is done. I don't know, Super Boom Shack. I don't think he's done yet, bro. You know, you want to know why I don't think Ozzy is done yet? The day Ozzy is done, God, I hate to say this, he dies. I think he's one of those kind of people that it's like Paterno. Paterno had cancer, and he kept coaching Penn State. And until they took Penn State away from him, then he died. If they didn't take Penn State away from him, he probably coached another 10 years with cancer. And then he succumbed. Ozzy, I think, is that guy that his work is him. It's his life. And the second you take that away from him, you take his life away. And it just, he'll never be able to replace it. You know, the athlete goes and does, you know, color analyst job, takes an assistant coaching job, tries to fill that hole. Ozzy will not find anything to fill that void. And so the second he's no longer Ozzy Osbourne on stage, heavy metal god, I fear for him. Okay? And it's something that it happens to human beings when they're married for a long time, that when one spouse goes, the next one goes shortly after, and you can't explain it. I mean, we saw it with Mad Dog and his wife. When Mad Dog finally passed away and succumbed to the cancer, then his wife then succumbed, and she all of a sudden got sick shortly after and joined Mad Dog up there in the big blue sky. And how many of you know of that scenario in your lifetime? Friend, family member, that's happened. And so there's a lot of people. I'm sure some of you may have somebody in your family that they're 70-something and they're still working. And you know deep down inside, you don't want to stop them from working. You want to let that run its course because you know how much that job means to that person, that career, whatever they do, the joy it brings them. I think Ozzy's that guy. So I believe you will see Ozzy again because Ozzy would rather probably die than not tour again. And I think he will do everything in his power to tour again. There is no doubt in my mind about that. Now, whether you get to see it or not, I'm not sure. I hope it coincides with your plans. I hope he comes by South Florida. But I'm planning on seeing Ozzy one more time. And I would imagine, and I'll go out on a limb and say Zach Wilde will be his guitarist. Okay?
That's pretty funny.
Am I going out on a limb?
No, I don't think so.
No, right? Oh, man. Let's see. As General MacArthur will say, soldiers don't die. They just simply fade away. Exactly. Yep. Yep. Sharon will have him on a wheelchair trying to sing.
That Black Sabbath thing, though, man,
I
don't know if Geezer or Bill Ward would be involved.
Geezer will be. I don't know about Bill Ward because of all the legal issues that they've had with Bill Ward. They kicked him out of the band and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, but for the final that was on Showtime or whatever, I've seen it a couple times. Was Bill Ward was there?
Yeah, but the blood, the dirtiness got worse after that. That's the thing.
Oh, it's going restarted. On the, it restarted at post.
It was going on the last couple of years. Yeah. No. There's some real.
Did you ever see the final concert?
Yeah.
And all the backstage stuff. That was awesome. The way they did that.
I saw them together, but that's not the point. The point is, I think he will come back. I'm convinced.
Or at least try. At least try.
Because that's what's motivating him to get healthy.
Right.
To get back. It's being on stage. He doesn't want to get healthy just to live a quiet life. Some people are like that. They're like, you know what, man, I'm done with this already. I just want to get healthy and relax and have fun with Sharon and just that's not him. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to be on stage.
Neil Peart was there. Neil Peart was done.
Right.
I'm over.
Right. He was happy, done. And, you know, and the rest is history, unfortunately. So, yeah, I think that's how it'll end up happening. Super Boomshack says, bring back Jakey Lee. I think he's touring with Red Dragon Cartel. I think he brought that back, and I think he's going to, well, not now touring, but I think he was in the process of all of that now with Jakey Lee. Anyway, so there you go. All right, we're going to wrap it up here on the program. We, of course, thank all the great people out here at VSS West Pines. Come on out here. Mention my name. 20% off. 12397 Pembroke Road. Tomorrow, we're going to be out at Toyota of Hollywood like we are every Thursday. So please join us out there at 1841 North State Road 7. Friday, we'll be at Craig Zinn. Acura of Pembroke Pines will be out there, and both at 11 o'clock. I know today we always start at noon, but we're back on our regular time Thursday and Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So
we're Abby normal today. Tomorrow right. We go back to normalcy.
I got you. Exactly. And Ray Grulong, of course, as we're wrapping up, the super chat comes in. Ray, thank you. He says, thank you, O, for your daily show these months. Been working from home, and your show helps me with the daily work stress. Well, that is... Thank you, Ray. Thank you very much. Julius, 305. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. There you go. I carry around a memory from Julius 305 every day. So,
are they going to keep you here with more super chats?
So Julius 305 chimes in and he puts, your phone line's been busy all afternoon. Great.
We're
show.
Sorry about that.
That's right. The phone lines have been smoking hot today on the program. But I do got to figure out a digital form of taking calls. That it's portable.
You guys know, just keep I trying to get in on those phone lines.
Exactly. I'm right. Especially that one dude that popped in for a couple minutes, formed a whole ruckus, and then left.
Had a half a hiccup, not even a full hiccup.
Mike Dominguez says, have a good day, guys. I got here late today, but I'm going to go back to listen to the show now. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for your dedication, and I thank all the great people out here at VSS West Pines. Get your butts on out here. You want to get CBD or anything else you need. 12397 Pembroke Road out here, Pembroke Pines. Tell them that Big O sent you. They will take care of you on behalf of Bill and myself. Philippe on video. Let's thank our super chatters, Myron, Kenneth in Cleveland, Drew Boo, Ray Grulong, Julius 305. Thank you all.
We want information.
Who are you?
I'm a go-getter.
Who are you?
Dumbass material all the way.
I am not.
Dumbass.
I am a
super chat. There we go. And Ian from Brooklyn, by the way, sends in a super chat right at the end also. Thank you.
You know, get to go home.
Yeah, he says, another show down from the man, the myth, the legend, Big O. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, Ian. Very strong on your part. Very strong on all of you out there for downloading the show, watching, tweeting, texting, YouTube, super chatting, however it is you support us and our amazing sponsors like the great people here at VSS West Pines. We will see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Y'all be good. Y'all be safe. And wear your mask.
Until tomorrow, see you later.
This is the Big O Show.